Mark 4, chapter 4, verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and it became, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell on thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, unfortunately, today's preachers are calling that seed that you sow money. I cannot believe of a greater affront to God than to call the seed, which is the spirit or the seed, sperma of Christ, to call that money. What?
Well, it's like blasphemy has to be ultimate for perfect clarity. And so even though it's onious, it's perfect in its...
No, it's perfect. It's perfect for if you understand that without the cross, you would run to the prosperity gospel.
Right. Where else would you go?
Sow your seed in good ground.
Hot soil.
Hot soil. That's just disgusting. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, now listen carefully, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. And notice that these is in italics. So that's not in there. That's just a clarification that the translator put in. So let's read it without that. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. Now, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Notice it says, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven. That would be impossible for God. Do you understand that? Read it carefully. That seeing they may see and not understand or not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them.
It almost seems like you could say, in order that they not be converted.
No.
No?
That's why the lest is for there. And you'd have a double negative.
I don't understand the lest yet.
Okay, you think, mine thinks, that it's saying to you, go preach the gospel so that you will convert people. That's what that's saying in your mind. But it's saying the opposite. All things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Flesh cannot be saved. And so that had to be the way. All things are in parables. Everything in the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, is a parable, a trope, a type, a pattern of Jesus Christ. That's all the Old Testament is. The four Gospels are the completion of that from four different viewpoints. So it's a cardinal the four cardinal points of the compass, so that the four Gospels acted in the same way that the great beast did before the throne. Once the four sat down and or kneeled down and worshiped, that meant it was over. The same as the 24 elders, the 24 courses of the priesthood. They fell down. It was over. Now that happened on the Feast of Pentecost. Now, so the seed here is kind of important. So we cannot, the flesh can't be saved. It's not redeemable. Your mind is the greatest enemy on the face of the earth to the mystery of God, intended to be that way, so that everything would be an antagonism, so that you finally come to the understanding that your mind has never once been your friend, your emotions have never once in your life been your friend. Their only purpose, your only purpose of your mind and your emotions is to keep you alone. So you memorize Scripture because it says to hide them in your heart. That's what about people that can't remember? That means they're going to hell? No. The mystery of God is that the seed, the sperm of God, Jesus Christ, was shed on all flesh on the Feast of Pentecost. The gospel has been preached to every creature which is under heaven. Why am I getting... Well, I'm about to go on a rant here. Let's go to Colossians 1 a minute.
I just thinking, well,
keep your hand in.
One of the problems I was having is I was trying to take this out of the context of the parable itself. And it needs to be a part of the whole.
Right, and that's the same thing. They use people, the prosperity gospel and the success gospel and the good feeling gospel and the all that, they take little pieces of Scripture out.
And then justify their position. But sounds right, because
they're
using Bible words.
Let's go to Colossians chapter 1.
Only seeing and hearing are what two primary sources of self-realization in terms of self-deception, right?
Right. Remember we've talked for many times. You're created, so what you hear is what you see. What you see, what you touch, you have dominion over. I mean, it's just, it's all in each of us. It's all this mystery of God in everything, in every place on the earth. We're going to Colossians. I'm fine. I'm fine. Peter's fine. Office fine.
Office fine.
I don't want to see you with a coat on. Did you put it in the middle?
Yeah.
Okay. Chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. So this mystery has been, if you think God would depend on idiots like us to spread the gospel?
Absolutely not.
No. He uses the foolish things of this world to found the wise.
You think he uses human race to spread the gospel? Let's continue on. Go to.
We're reading from Paul and everybody else, so I suppose.
Okay, let's go. Let's continue. Go over to verse 23. If you continue, no, let's not go there. Let's go to 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works that now they reconciled, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I, Paul, am made a minister. All the gospel has been preached by God himself. It's been declared in the person of Jesus Christ, and that seed is in every one of us, every member of the human race.
Yeah, it's past tense here. Was preached.
It was preached to every... Well, if that's true, then what are all these people doing? Making disciples.
What's the difference? I mean, that's...
Okay, this is the difference. We have, let's go to a Benny Hinn crusade. Okay? And he comes into a place with bells and whistles, and he converts, quote unquote, 500 people in that audience. And then he leaves. It's like having a baby and then walking away from it. The call is to make disciples. That's a totally different person than believers. Believers is maybe a first step that's a childish thing, but his call is for us to make disciples. That's why it says, except you be converted and become as this little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. The converted is... Converted literally means exchanged. You're reconciled, exchanged. You no longer have a life. You finally see that you, along with the human race, died on the cross. And someone else, for all this time, has been masquerading as something of godly. And you think, and you ride, and you try, and you do all this stuff to try to be a good Christian. And what happens? You become, instead of a good Christian, you become a good actor or actress. Because you put on a face to go when you're with other believers, but alone, you're full of dead men's bones. And everybody here knows that.
Otherwise, you couldn't be a bride. I mean, without what you just said, being a disciple.
Then you have the salvation of the isolated self. That's which is an anathema to God. You got to hear this. It's said in other places, but here these two are the most pristine. The gospel has been preached, past tense, to every creature under God, under heaven. That's why Paul said, Jesus said to Paul, it's becoming hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to resist the divine impulse. A preacher can't tell you anything that you don't already know. All a preacher can do is be a witness so that spark happens in you. But our call, there's a massive difference between making converts and making disciples. Let's go to Matthew 23.
Yeah, it's like the process of discipleship is not adding to, but removing from.
Right.
Getting rid of all your...
Anything that's a gain, anything that's a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Right. Where did I say go?
Matthew 23.
Starting verse... 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, and neither allow you them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make a long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel or compass sea and land to make one proselyte or one convert, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whoever shall swear by the... Oh, on and on. But do you really see what that means?
It's the difference between flesh and spirit.
Watch, if I go to a church, any church that I visited during that time before, when after I became a believer, if I heard this section preached on, it was talking, it was a history lesson. Because this is talking, this is the environment that Jesus had when he was on earth. And these scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, this is what they did to him. And he called them blind guides and the greater damnation. We don't understand that he's talking to us. How do you make him twice the child of hell that you are? Because of the fall, you're already a child of hell. And then you add on to that 1,000 rules of living, and you're twice as bad as you were when you started. Anybody understand? Right. That's what Babylonian garment is. The Babylon, the whore, the great whore that's deceiving the whole world, she's sitting on your mind. The seven mountains of your mind. And as long as you give breath to your feelings or your emotions or your thought process to come to a conclusion, you have cause and effect. As long as there's cause and effect, you're still part of the whore.
Law doesn't make a believer. Laws are kind of like a symbol. You know,
the law is the strength of sin.
Right. Well, what I'm getting at is that it's kind of like, I mean, it's back to the sower, the parable of the sower. If that's a law, then you'll never understand it. Because it's a parable. Right. It's the soul spirit thing.
That means we have to go quickly back to Mark, otherwise I won't complete my thought. Thank you for bringing it back to Mark. That's probably the second attaboy you've had in 35 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Second
really you've good. Given this week. The fact that you stumbled into
Yeah. All right, verse 11. Mark 4, verse 11.
Now all you need is an attaboy. We got the really blessed thing.
Okay, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? In other words, if you don't understand that parable, that's the most important parable in the Bible. Because if you don't understand it, then you will not ever be able to understand anything else spiritually. Now let's get to the explanation of it. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. Now what is the word here? Is the word the Bible? Is the word your repeating of words? We looked at yesterday. The word is Jesus Christ. The sower is God. When they farmed at biblical times, they didn't have nice little fields where they plowed, you know, and then they plowed little stuff in the rows. They threw it. And so the parable, you're going to die.
I think I'll make it.
Now you gave it to her.
She's got it.
All right. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, Satan comes in the form of your mind. Because from that, if he does that, then you will, from that point forward, try to use the gospel as gain for you. In other words, you will put his name on all your ideas and your plans and what you think God wants you to do and your calling and all that. The moment you do that, then you've lost the mystery of God. You've lost the abandonment and the joy of repentance. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. And they have no root in themselves. No. And these are they likewise, which in verse 18, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. And we've seen that many times. They're offended. There's nothing that can offend you that isn't. I mean, everything is done for the sake of the word. And all of the afflictions, even your own stupidity that brings them on, are for the sake of the word. I remember when I was Lester. Anybody know who Lester Summerall is? Huh? You know who he was, though. I was a guest. He was a guest in a radio show, and he had just been convicted of some law. And so he's on the radio and he's blaring away and telling me how much he's proud because he's suffering for the word's sake. And I said, maybe not. Maybe you're suffering because you're stupid. And he got so mad at me. Anyway, listen to the story. All right. But for endure for a time, and after that, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which were sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and soon the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, which such as hear the word and receive it, and bringeth forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Now the fruit is the size of the group that you will be teaching. Remember, a church had to have at least 10, but no more than 20 people. Think about that. And 120 was what was necessary for the Jewish law to recognize it as a separate community. That's why the 120, so that was four sets of 30. You understand what I'm saying?
So it's satisfying every jot and tittle of the law.
Well, in Christ it's satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens here? Anybody heard preachers say if you give $1,000, you get a 100-fold blessing?
Oh, yeah,
all the time. That's a 10,000% return on your investment. It's not talking about that. Remember, we're studying affliction that comes because of the word, or for the word's sake. In Matthew, it says, because of the word, when affliction comes. I've had more affliction since the day that I became a believer than I ever had as a pagan heathen. You can say, well, I bring it on myself because I get sued. I get sued again. We get sued again. Look, there's another one threatened. I've been told that Brother Copeland is about to file a massive suit against us.
What's the point? We don't have anything.
The point is they want to stop us.
They want to shut us up.
They've sent $22 million trying to stop us. They don't care whether they... Anyhow, we're talking about be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Now, how do you not be partaker? God wants us to be constantly in faith. But if an affliction comes because of the word, then we then try to use that which is cursed, namely our mind, to get out of it. The Bible calls that fainting or quitting. You quit in your mind and go back to your leaning on your own arm of understanding to try to get out of it. You abandon yourself fine when everything's going well. So you understand how you are not partaker of the afflictions?
Because you resist.
Because you think they're from another source. They couldn't be from God. And so you try to use another source to overcome them. Namely, this thing. Or other guys, this thing. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. All righty. Anybody have anything else? We're not going to finish, but we'll continue on this. I don't even know what day it is.
It's Wednesday.
It's today.
It's Tuesday?
Wednesday.
You just said Tuesday.
No, I said Wednesday.
Oh. So it's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
All right. Take it big, guy.
Okay.